It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah, we're not afraid here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, talking about all the controversial stuff. And I'm, dang, you know, the Franklin scandals, I, you know, that's a rabbit hole I'd just soon not go down. But it's amazing that the media would pass up such a juicy opportunity and instead, you know, what country Madonna's adopting a baby from. And, you know, that becomes the number one show, you know, in the competition between Angelina Jolie and Madonna on who can get a, you know, baby from the more foreign country. This is it. It does not surprise me one bit that you have big bad guys in office at powerful positions at all levels of the government, and that I'm sure that, you know, whatever puppet masters there are, they got all kinds of, you know, nasty pictures on something they're going to keep in line. And when they step out of line, like, you know, Elliot Spitzer, oh, you've been visiting with your girlfriend. Oh, all that stuff you're talking about subprime, you know, we got distracted from that, didn't we? You know, so this is how they roll. I mean, you think they would go another way? So the problem is, you know, just eliminate the power. It's not who's in power. It's the power. You're always going to attract the worst sort. You're always going to have the worst sort wanting the worst sort so they can keep them doing worst sort and stuff. So nothing surprises me anymore. You know, they could have, you know, reptile, alien, blah, 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 in their little spaceship suit going mind beaming kind of whatever. Nothing surprises me anymore. It reminds me of when they had big UFO sightings here in Phoenix, and they had Phoenix Lights and all that was going on. And a lot of my friends from around the country, yeah, I was busy. I had a restaurant, man. I'm not looking up, much less even going outside. But I knew there was a little buzz going on about it. And they go, Ernie, what's really going on? What's going on? I said, look, man, I don't got time. I let me tell you what I'm looking for. You know, they're Vulcans, and they're like, we, you know, prime directive, you do your own stuff, we're not taking responsibility, and, you know, by the way, you want to buy some, you know, trinkets and trash? I mean, they just want to be, you know, friends and commerce or exchange whatever and non-initiation of force thing? Cool. My friends, I don't care. Or they're Klingons. We come to rule you, we're taking over, we're doing, then they can just join a long list of bad guys doing the same thing. Yeah, go ally with them. You know, we'll just put you on the same side of the line. You know, so I don't really, that's the only thing I look at. I don't really, they can't scare me with what? You know, either they're violating my individual rights or they're not. And all these guys from Washington, they are. And you go to such an extent, you got to go, are they really that bad? Or they got somebody that has something over them to getting them to do these kinds of things. How bad is it? You know, somebody, I had a lady call me this morning. She goes, Ernie, did you know, yada, yada, yada. I'm going, what are you going to do? Tell me that the government's really, 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 really bad? Seriously? Well, I got some more bad government stuff. When you come back, I'll scare you some more. You know, I got chickens.
It's time to declare your independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443. And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. With me, Ernest Hancock, got lots of stuff to scare you with. Yeah, but, you know, Nick Bryant thought we were going to be going longer than an hour, and he was saving some tidbits for the end, being he was saving, he's holding out on us. So we got Nick back, and he's gonna share with us some other goodies. Go ahead, Nick.
Well, I just wanted to talk about the blackmail a little bit more. The names of the blackmail politicians that have come up have been absolutely mind-boggling, and it's really important that America know that many of its politicians are, in fact, compromised. And you can tell, if you read the Franklin scandal, you can see the tremendous amount of federal firepower that was brought down to vaporize this scandal, to keep the toothpaste in the tube. And when I say this, it's very difficult for people to get their minds around it, but it is, in fact, true. And if you read the Franklin scandal, you will see that it is, in fact, true, that there were ultimately three grand juries that were corrupted and co-opted and hijacked to prevent the truth from coming out. Three grand juries to cover this scandal up. And what people don't know is that it's very easy to co-opt a grand jury. The grand jury is basically directed by the special prosecutor. So if you get a corrupt special prosecutor, whatever he decides to tell the grand jurors or the witnesses that he calls is ultimately what the grand jury is going, the conclusions that the grand jury is going to come up with. So there were three corrupted grand juries to completely cover this up, one in Washington, D.C., and two in Nebraska. And the media went with these grand juries, even though there was a tremendous amount of problems involved with their conclusions. The New York Times went with the grand juries, and also the Washington Post went with the grand juries and reported on the grand juries. And as I said earlier, there was a girl who wouldn't recant her abuse. Her name was Alicia Owen, and she had been abused since she was an early adolescent. And she came forward when she was 20 and was indicted by these grand juries when she was 21. And she was ultimately given 9 to 15 years for perjury. And
she actually served time? She went to jail?
She served 2 years in solitary confinement. They wanted to punish her. And her brother died very mysteriously. And if you read my book, the official account is that her 17-year-old brother hung himself. And if you read the documents that I've acquired in my book, I make a strong case that he didn't. But Franklin, the story is littered with dead bodies. The subcommittee's investigator, his plane mysteriously blew up over Lee County, Illinois, and I've got five sources that said he had acquired pictures of this, blackmail pictures of this pedophile network in Chicago, and he was flying his plane from Chicago back to Nebraska, and his plane mysteriously blew up over Lee County, Illinois. There was another victim who came forward, and his brother supposedly shot himself in the head playing Russian roulette. And one of the pedophilic pimps in D.C., Craig Spence, supposedly committed suicide. And there are a number of other people that supposedly committed suicide in this story. And there was actually one person who was involved on the pornography side of this, the child pornography side of this, who had his head blown off in near downtown Omaha. So it wasn't only judicial corruption, and I mean major judicial corruption, because anytime you can co-opt three grand juries, that's unbelievable power. But then there's this necropolis involved in Franklin. There are all these dead people, either through mysterious accidents like planes breaking apart in the middle of the air, or through suicide. And most of the families of these victims, or of these people that committed suicide that were involved with Franklin, I mean, no one in their families believed that they actually committed suicide. So not only was judicial corruption involved, but there were a number of murders that were involved to keep the lid on this. So the government really went into a full court press.
Well, can they accomplish this nowadays? You know, can you have a necropolis? That's a good one. You know, we got a string of dead bodies here. We have a lot of this kind of covered up evidence. People that are, you know, and this, it takes a book such as yours to bring this stuff up. But if this kind of thing were going on now, do you think they would be able to keep it a secret?
Well, I think it would actually be easier to cover up now because of the Patriot Act. I mean, federal law enforcement has even more power now than it had back then. And the media has been consolidated even more than it was back then. So I think in this day and age, as we sit here in 2010, that it would be even easier.
Oh, man, when it's, you know, when you got one of the kids at 14 years old with a cell phone flip iPod, whatever the heck, and he just puts it up on YouTube and says, aha, see, Congressman, what's his name, right there, na-na-na-na-na-na-na. I mean, I don't know how you're going to stop that.
I can guarantee you that these kids who would be invited to these pedophilic orgies would not be having cell phones on them. I can guarantee you that.
All right. So I, you know, I just can't imagine. I wouldn't know how, but I'm just, you know, sooner or later, this stuff comes out. It always does. I mean,
well, it came out with my book, but it took years for me. It took 7 years, and I traveled 40,000 miles, and I had access to steel grand jury documentation to break it. I mean, you had to be someone had to be extremely tenacious, and I didn't come into this as like a conspiracy theory individual. I mean, I've written a lot. You can go to my website, www.franklinscandal.com, franklinscandal.com, and you can look at my biography, and I've written a lot on children's issues. My writings on children's issues have been published in major national journals, and I've also had previously written a book on lower socioeconomic children in America, entitled America's Triumph or Tragedy. And I've been an advocate for children for many years, and this is what got me into this story, is that when I realized that all these children had been abused with impunity, I was just so incensed that I decided that to devote 7 years of my life to write that
book.
Well,
have you been threatened? I mean, what has been the repercussions?
I've had one death threat, and in the book I describe it. And also in the book, I was with one of the blackmail photographers, and he kind of led me on a wild goose chase to get pictures. And we were pulled over by the Nebraska State Patrol or State Police, and I look like a fine, upstanding member of society. I have short hair, and I had a Joe Boxer t-shirt and khakis and Nike Air Max, and they gave my documentation a cursory glance, and then they deposited me in a state patrol cruiser, and then they proceeded to completely rip apart my rental car. I mean, completely rip it apart. I mean, they spent like 45 minutes looking for I don't know what. And I've also been followed, and when I've been in Nebraska, so I've endured a tremendous amount of heat.
Well, who published the book?
There was one publisher in the country that was willing to publish this book. I had an agent. I live in New York City. I live in the epicenter of publishing, and I had an agent, and he tried to sell this book to every major publisher in New York City, or based in New York City, and no one would touch this book. And just through sheer serendipity, I found out about a publisher about the same time that the publisher found out about me in Oregon. That was the only publisher that was willing to publish this book. And they went through, they did fact-checking, and it went through lawyers. I mean, they were very circumspect about publishing this book. And so it went through a tremendous amount of scrutiny. Because this publisher obviously didn't want to be sued for libel. But if you read the Franklin scandal, you will see that I prove it. I find lots of victims. And you can go to my website and look at the documentary trailer, because I've got an upcoming I'm working on a documentary about the Franklin scandal, and you can see my interviews with former victims of this pedophile network on the trailer. And there was also a documentary made about this called Conspiracy of Silence that was commissioned by the Discovery Channel, and then the Discovery Channel pulled the plug on it. and it was going to be shown on the Discovery Channel, and then it found its way to the internet, and it's become an internet phenomenon. But I have a copy on my website that's never been seen.
A copy on your I'm on your website, and I'm looking for the trailer, the movie, the documentary. Where am I looking?
It's on the first page.
Trailer from upcoming documentary. That's
yes.
Something else. Well, what was the one? The Conspiracy of Silence is there. Okay.
And right below that is a version of Conspiracy of Silence that has never been seen until now. I've got scenes that have never been seen until now.
All right. Well, hold on. We'll hold you. You know, I apologize about the confusion. How long we have? We'll go at least another segment. We'll talk. I got a bunch of stuff I want to give. Maybe I'll just keep you on as I go through the other stuff. A lot of times it intertwines. It's all bad, guys. All bad, guys. We'll be back in a little bit with Nick Bryant from FranklinScandal.com. We'll be right back.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, Nick Bryant, The Franklin Scandal. Now, you go to franklinscandal.com, and there are movie trailers here. Now, let's talk about that for a little bit. The Conspiracy of Silence movie, this was done for Discovery Channel, and then they just said, it wouldn't be prudent at this juncture.
Channel pulled the plug on it. And it was going to be shown. It wasn't going to be shown in the United States, but it was going to be shown on the Discovery Channel in the UK. And ultimately what happened there was the Discovery Channel just said thanks, but no thanks, and pulled the plug on it.
How did you get access to it?
I've acquired relationships with a lot of people involved on Franklin on multiple levels. And I also acquired relationships with people at Yorkshire Television, former employees at Yorkshire Television who were instrumental in making that documentary. And they gave me a version that has never been seen on the internet. And it also has a much better fidelity than the version that's been bouncing around the internet too.
Wow. Okay, so the documentary you have coming out is going to unveil what? What are we going to get new?
Well, the document, basically, unfortunately, we live in a society where people don't like to read, and they don't like to read. And my book is a fairly large book. I mean, the narrative is 500 pages, but we also, because of the documentation that I came across was so mind-boggling and showed such unbelievable malfeasance and criminal conduct on behalf of the federal government, we decided that we had to throw like about 100 pages worth of my documents into the book because readers might not believe that these documents are just, no one wants to think that the federal government or a corrupt subgenus within the federal government is aiding and abetting child trafficking. I mean, it would be like America's worst nightmare. No one wants to believe that, and I understand that because I didn't want to believe that. When I originally started looking into this, I was very, very skeptical. But the documents that I ultimately acquired are just so mind-boggling and so explosive that we decided that we had to put a bunch of them, about 100 pages worth, in the book so people could see these documents and read these documents for themselves to prove that I didn't make this stuff up out of the ether, because some of it is just so shocking and mind-boggling.
Well, one thing that I am interested in also pursuing is this. What brought this back, and I refreshed my memory, because I had heard about this in the mid-90s. There's a organization here called the Arizona Breakfast Club that's been around for 40 years, and they would have people coming, and I think that's where I heard or seen the senator came and spoke, and talked about this, and I just had it in the back of my mind. One Saturday morning, they had done it before I had taken over the Breakfast Club. You know, I run it now. It was by a gentleman, Harry Everingham, that did it for many years, and he died in his 90s, and I inherited it. And we continue this tradition, but it was always there that you got stuff that you wouldn't have seen anywhere else in the media. And it was before the internet really started taking off. Then we had, in the Bush administration, all of a sudden the Jeff Gannon Guckert scandal. And I remembered, you know, him, he's, a, you know, kind of this gay prostitute in the correspondence pool there at the White House. And
actually, he's not kind of a gay prostitute. He is a gay prostitute.
Well, I mean, you know, it's more than that. I mean, he's just, yeah, that's his, I don't know which is his
Hollywood correspondent by day, gay prostitute.
Right.
By
I'm not sure which one is his primary gig, you know, but, you know,
yeah, it's,
but the thing was, is that I kind of related to this at, you know, like he was part of, or the same people knew him. Was he part of the children earlier in the 80s? Is he related to this at all?
No, he's not. I mean, there's a lot of innuendo that has tried to link him to this story, but I looked into it and I found no correlation whatsoever between Jeff Gannon and the Franklin scandal.
You know what happened? A lot of the people, the reason they don't know about the Jeff Gannon Guckert story is that the day that was breaking, we were sitting, we're going, oh, he's just a gigolo everywhere he goes. We're just ready to pounce on this thing on radio, and we're just, and we did. We had fun with it and went after it. But the rest of the, we thought, oh, this is definitely going to blow up a lot of this stuff and bring up some of the Franklin stuff. But do you remember what happened? It was the next day, boom. Doug Weed's doing a biography on George Bush where he has taped interview where he admitted to inhaling marijuana. Do you remember that?
I do.
That was when they did that. It was the day after the Jeff Gannon Guckert thing came out is when they got on tape the president of the United States admitting that he smoked marijuana. But he didn't want to say anything in the campaign because he didn't want to give children the ammunition to go to their parents and say, well, George Bush smoked marijuana. So that was because he loves the children, okay? So I saw what was his. Change the lead. It's like wag the dog. Change the lead. Change the lead. Change the lead. And if you got the president admitting he's going to smoke marijuana on a taped interview with Doug Weed White, you know, presidential biographer, blah, 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 blah. Well, guess what? Jeff Gannon Guckert gets pushed off the story. That's just how they roll. You got some more great goodies you're going to share with us if we keep you on another segment?
Well, I pretty much kind of gave you what I was expecting to give you, so but I appreciate you having me on the show.
Yeah, well, we'll get you on the afternoon show, too. We'll work this out because I want to make sure that we got Donna got that all taken care of. Thanks, Nick. We'll be working with you again here real soon here on Declare Your Independence. We'll be right back.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence of me, Ernest Hancock. Hey, I'm glad we got that show in the archive. Wanted to get it taken care of. But, you know, it's an issue that's kind of dark, and I just assume not. But I think it was handled well. I mean, as well as you can get. They got bad guys being bad and abusing everybody, including the little children. So, you know, what do? You just, free your mind. You know, declare your independence. And you don't even need a government form. You know, one thing I did want to go over real quick, I'll just touch on a bunch of stuff today. If you go to Freedom's Phoenix, freedomsphoenix.com, and you go to today's archive show, you'll see a lot of the connections and links to the Franklin scandal, where you have the trailers and the movies that wasn't shown on the Discovery Channel. Even in another country, it was going to be in Europe, and they said, never mind. You know, so this is, it's a big, you know, you got three grand juries, you got a bunch of bad guys in bad places doing bad things, and, you know, somebody wrote the book. About time. Cool. Well, on a lighter note, in Phoenix, the cameras are coming down. Well, you know, we'll see. You know, but what's happened is they are not going to renew the contract for Redflex here in Arizona. So it looks like, at least on the freeways, the cameras are coming down. It's been such a financial drain on them. I mean, you want to get them. You get them where it counts, in the wallet. You inform people. You know, just throw them away. You know, don't play. Nope, 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 not going to happen. No. In reaction to the news that the Arizona Department of Public Safety, DPS, will not renew their contract with Redflex Traffic Systems of Australia to operate the statewide freeway photo traffic enforcement system, a press conference will be held outside the Phoenician Resort in Phoenix at 5 p.m. today. The original contract was signed as part of a mandate in the 2008 state budget submitted by the then-Governor Janet Napolitano, who has since left to become Secretary of Homeland Security. The original intent was to install more than 200 fixed camera locations throughout Arizona freeways. Wow. As well as deploy mobile units to snap photos of motorists in alleged violations of speed limit. Arizona Citizens Against Photo Radar formed shortly thereafter to protest a proliferation of these cameras, citing that the program violated several protections in the Arizona U.S. Constitution and had an abhorrent safety record. Well, you know, you go to are we winning? Yay, we win. you know, it's good to see that this happens. A lot of times you're just kind of it was useful to have such an egregious violation of our rights on, you know, because this is not just photo radar, it was continual video surveillance. They called it person of interest program, Homeland Security, put your name in, beep, 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 beep. And then what do? Any vehicle associated with your name just pops up of whenever you've passed one of these cameras. Well, you don't think they can do it? Heck, they're proud of it. You know, that's what they're offering to law enforcement and the states and the government. Red flag going, oh, not only. You know, in other states, if you don't have your insurance, seatbelt, whatever, they just charge the car's owner, whether you were driving it or not. Chicago, boom, you're getting tickets, man, pay up. Man, I wasn't even driving it. You're confusing us with someone that cares. Okay. Even after we all watch the freeway cameras dismantled and removed, the chance of them coming back one day will not be eliminated until the Ban Photo Radar in Arizona initiative is approved and voted on in November. There's been a petition that's been circulated, and they're going at it. So it's I'm not sure what their thought process is. They know this comes up for a vote. You know, it's going down. Well, you know, assuming that little vote dials are not, you know, askewed on that issue. But they did they want to keep it open for the future? You know, we don't want to lose Arizona forever. Maybe we'll just shut them down. Shut them down, and they won't get enough petition signatures. They won't vote for it. They won't, and because. No. Regardless of the spin put out on this story by Redflex or DPS, know that public opinion and the efforts of camera fraud and Arizona Citizens Against Photo Radar played a major role in this decision. The work of our volunteers and the voices of our supporters are vital in the effort to ban the scam. In other words, your voice has been heard loud and clear. We found a way to make 10% of the cameras come down, and we won't stop until the other 90% do as well. Aha, see, this is just 10%. It's just the ones that are on the freeway. You know, this is, don't ever think that they're just going to, oh, you win. No, we'll give up the 10% of the most despised cameras, and then we'll make it on the other ones. Nope, not done. Here it comes. So, you know, a little bit of a W in the column. We win. Maybe. Just a little bit. So I am concerned. Well, let's talk a little bit about the economy. I mean, I don't even know where to go. I mean, there's so much. It's so complicated, but it's getting ready to go. Gold is almost up at 1,200 again. It's gone up a lot. And just yesterday, it took a dump, went down to, you know, like 1,150 something. And then all of a sudden, boom, it's almost up to $1,200 annual, $50 plus run up in gold after they keep trying to push it down. That's a concern. You know, and so many things are going on. I could spend entire shows. We'll do that next week. There's a lot of things that's going to happen this weekend. A lot more bank foreclosures. A lot of stuff's happening in Europe. And I think next week will be a good time to get us up to speed. We'll get Jack Gregson in or one of the other writers or an economist to come in and tell, okay, where are we at now? Because you have more turmoil ahead in global financial markets. You know, this is from Jim Rogers. And he's like, I'm shorting a stock market index in the U.S. I'm shorting an emerging market index. I'm shorting one of the large Western international financial institutions. It's an emerging market index. It's not a specific country. It's an index of any of all of the emerging markets and selling them short. Short, 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 short. It's a going down. Well, then you look at the stock market and what's happened in the last couple of days. Takes a big dump. Then it go back up, back down. It doesn't matter. You know, it's all fundamentals. I had dinner with a longtime friend last night, and I'm trying to convince him. He goes, yeah, well, and I heard and people say and all that. And I'm going, you know, it's just all a side effect, a little high that we got on all of the gazillions of dollars that was put into the stimulus. That's going to go away. Then what? Now we're in big heap trouble. It's not even started yet. So, but at least they're protecting the borders. I'm going to play for you a you know, it goes on for a little while. It's like 10 minutes. We'll get it done through in a couple of segments here. We'll finish it up in the last segment, but we'll get a good chunk of it on here. But this is a Canadian couple. And I've been, you know, friends that live on the Canadian border in Washington State, and you go through, you yep, we're going into Canada. Where are you going? This, that, we're going to play golf. You know, it's all good. Closest little airport there is there for their plane, closest golf course, nicest restaurants. You know, it's a small town in Washington. They go into a bigger town in Canada. You know, they speak English. They, you know, take American money. I mean, you know, it's all good. So Canadians do the same thing. They come down, hey, we're going to go to the mall. You know, we got a big mall there. You know, it's 15 miles away, and we'll just go in and go to the mall. So, but whenever we come back in the U.S., they're just buttheads. I mean, seriously, just, you know, just because they can. And they're being more and more indemnified from any responsibility. And certainly when you're at an international border, man, oh, that'll make your life a living hell. Well, here's a young Canadian couple, but what they didn't know is that they were taping it. So we'll go ahead and play a little bit of this. I think we'll get something out of it. It really, I listened to it last night, and it really bothered me.
Hi.
Of what country are you citizens?
Which country am I citizens? Canada.
Well, of what country are both of you citizens is what I'm asking. But
both of us are from Canada.
How do you two know each other?
We're married.
Where are you going today?
Fashion Outlet Mall.
For what?
For shopping.
Where at?
Where in, what is it? What's the address?
Niagara Falls.
Niagara Falls.
Which stores?
I don't know. Does it matter?
All the stores?
We haven't set out our
keys, please.
My keys?
Yes, your keys, right now. Your keys. 1022 to lane 1, 2 occupants. United States of America.
No, I understand, but
okay,
I'm...
Okay, so if I ask you questions, I'm answering. I don't expect to get responses like, does it matter? I expect to get the responses of the questions...
You ask me which store I'm going to.
Yeah, if you're...
I don't know. Shopping, I don't know what store I'm going to.
Be quiet. Get out of the vehicle.
Okay.
Any weapons, any phones on you?
No.
No? Leave them all in the car. Leave those headphones in the car.
Okay.
All right. Over this way. Over that way.
For what reason?
Take a seat.
For what reason?
Take a seat.
Ridiculous. I said, why do I have to sit down? Take a seat. Why do I have to sit down? Take a seat.
Okay.
One Elm Drive in Mississauga.
Where are you trying to go today?
We're trying to go to the Fashion Outlet Mall in Niagara Falls, I believe.
Okay.
I'm not sure. He asked me, the question that I was asked was, which store am I going to specifically? I don't know. My wife and I are just going to walk around the mall.
Okay.
And I was told to come and sit down. I asked, what's the reason? He just said, he kept yelling, this gentleman right here kept yelling, sit down, sit down, sit down. So he wouldn't give me a reason.
What if the officer tells you to do something?
Well, I need to know why.
Hold on a second, okay? You're a Canadian citizen.
Yes,
right?
I am. But I'm not going to obey orders if I don't understand the reason for them.
The officer tells you to come inside and sit down, you come inside and sit down.
Uh-huh. Okay. But do you understand where I'm coming from? Like, why?
Because we're gonna interview.
Okay.
We're gonna
on what ground? Like, what?
We don't need any grounds.
Well, that's ridiculous.
Okay, that's this United States. I'm sorry, I don't know what to tell you.
You don't need any grounds for your actions.
Absolutely not.
Well, that's ridiculous.
Are we causing any bodily harm to you?
No.
No.
Am I causing any bodily harm to you?
No.
Okay.
When the officer tells you to do something, you do it.
And there's no reason required.
Absolutely not.
Well, okay. Okay.
Okay. And.
So what am I supposed to do now?
Let me talk. Okay. I'm just trying to.
Well, no, because you don't like.
I'm just trying to make sure.
But you just told me you don't have to give me a reason for what you're doing.
You're absolutely right. I don't.
So then, what are you trying to like?
I'm gonna interview you.
Okay.
I'm gonna check you.
Uh huh.
When I check, probably dump your pockets and make sure.
Okay.
For safety purposes.
Okay.
Okay. Ma'am, take a seat for me, okay? Is this your girlfriend?
It's my wife.
Okay.
Uh huh.
And we're gonna verify your intent. That's what we're doing.
My intent's clear, but you can verify.
Your intent's clear?
I'm going to go shopping.
Okay, that's what you say.
Okay.
Unfortunately, in my line of work...
Uh-huh.
Okay.
I work with law enforcement agencies all the time in Canada, so I know your line of work quite well. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I know how the law works a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's Canadian law.
Well, no, I know the U.S. law, too. It's not like I'm coming from Iraq or something. You know, Canada's not so much different than...
Really?
Really? Have you been to Canada?
Keep digging
up. Have you been to Canada? Have you been to Canada?
Yes, I have.
Okay, and it's so much different than the U.S., is it?
Listen, we have to worry about terrorists, money, drugs, illegal...
I'm not a terrorist.
I didn't say you were.
Okay, so
I'm just telling you the things that we look for.
I understand, but you're looking at the wrong guy.
Do you think that everybody has, like, a terrorist on their forehead, drug dealer on their forehead?
I don't know.
Alien smuggler.
I have no idea. That's your line of work. I have no idea. I'm just telling you.
You say that you deal with law enforcement all the time.
Yeah.
Okay.
But they don't pick on guys who clearly have no interest in terrorizing their country.
I'm not picking on them. I'm just trying to interview
you. No, I don't think you are, but I think you're the first level person who was interviewing
me. We ask very detailed and personal questions.
Okay.
Just so we can verify what you say. Okay, example. Where are you going? I'm going to my uncle's house. Where does he live? He lives in New York City. Where? Give me an address. Give me a phone number because I might call your uncle and say... Is your nephew coming down to see you today?
Uh-huh.
This is what we do.
Okay.
That's how detailed we get. That's how personal.
Okay, I've been here through numerous times, never had those kind of questions.
Doesn't matter, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Previous times don't matter, okay? If the officer feels like he
wants... No, you want to see where... I think your officer doesn't like me and just wants to use the bureaucracy as an excuse
Can we just forget with the...
Well, that's why I'm here. That's why I'm here.
I'm trying to talk to you.
I understand. I'm trying to talk to you, too. I'm not being disrespectful to you personally. I think that there's something wrong with the process. Anyway,
okay.
Go ahead.
Well, if you're upset with the process, there's nothing I can do for you.
I understand.
This is what we do. How many times have you crossed within the last year?
Oh, I don't know. I have no... Maybe...
20 times?
No, not that many times. No, maybe less than 10.
Okay. Every once in a while, we're going to send you inside. Inside this office,
uh-huh.
We're going to interview you, we're going to search your car, we're going to search your person, we're going to, you know, whatever we feel like we the level of search we need to go to,
okay.
That's what we're going to do, just to verify your story.
Okay.
And people that say, yeah, I'm going shopping to the mall, sometimes people lie to us.
Okay, I understand.
And they say, you know what, and they go meet with somebody and they drop off a load of drugs or they drop...
Do you honestly think I'm lying to you?
I don't... See, listen.
Do you honestly think I'm lying to you?
Do I honestly think you're lying to me?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
But unfortunately, I can't believe, in my line of work, I can't believe everybody.
Okay. But we're talking about me right now.
If I believe...
We're talking about me right now.
I finish?
Uh-huh.
If I believe everybody,
mm-hmm.
I would never find anything. I wouldn't find seizures. I wouldn't find
drugs.
How many
terrorists do you find coming across the border?
You want to know what? You'll be surprised. You'll be very surprised. I would say three a day.
Three terrorists?
A day.
From Canada.
That you don't know about.
Okay.
Do you think we put every single possible terrorist in the newspaper and say
no,
he was encountered at the Lewis and Bridge?
I'm just curious.
Three, and I'm not saying here at the Lewis and Bridge. I'm saying in the Port of Buffalo, Lewis and Rainbow and Peace Bridge. I would say three a day.
Okay, sit down, Woody. Sit down. Sit down.
I'm trying to have a discussion.
Just go sit down.
Why? Well, I just want to...
No, I'll tell you later. Just go sit down.
The guy was asking which store I'm going to.
I know. I've explained this to him. No. Just sit down. Sit down. Sit down. You see this? It's all unnecessary.
Ma'am,
totally
ma'am,
ma'am, totally ma'am. Unnecessary.
Ma'am.
You're a Canadian citizen.
Oh, yeah. Ma'am. You're an American citizen. I can shake my head at you, too, man. What are you going to do? Shoot me? What are you going to do? What are you going to do?
Hold on a second, okay? Hold on a second.
Was that a threat?
No,
it wasn't.
Right. Don't start making threats, Mike.
I'm not making threats.
Okay. Is he Canadian?
Yeah.
You're making threats?
I'm not making a threat. I am not making a threat.
Back right now.
What are you trying to do?
I'm not making a threat. Stop.
Oh, you want to wait for the rest of this, don't you? We'll be right back.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
In sorrow. Yeah, there's always something going on. You know, I want some, you know, bright lights and shiny objects and stuff to distract me from all the pain. Because, man, it's just constant sorrow. Well, you know, I just talked to Sean Dow, Camera 5. We'll have him on tomorrow and get a little report of what's going on with the scammers. But I want to go ahead and finish this, make sure we get this in. And this is a couple going to Niagara Falls Mall from Canada. I've done it many times before, travel, and just, you know, getting a jackbooted thug. I mean, this is just, you will respect my authority! You know, and this is going to be our life. Every interface, everybody's going to have a gun, a badge, immunity. And this is what happens.
Okay.
I'm trying to be cool.
Lady, don't worry about it.
Calm down. Okay. You better calm her down real quick.
Lady, calm down. Nothing's going to be good. Okay.
Just calm down.
Okay.
Just calm
down. Okay.
Right here.
Okay.
Okay. Sit down. Sit on the hook.
Okay. I don't need any trouble with you.
Yeah. Well, that was 15 minutes ago when all this bullshit started.
Okay. All right.
What's going on?
Nothing. I've just been through a lot of stress at my job.
All right.
That's all. I don't.
Okay, sir. Listen.
I don't want to hear you guys.
I'm the supervisor here today.
Yeah.
Okay. We're gonna sit here. We're gonna talk. We're gonna find out what's going on. Okay. Right now, you're in a lot of trouble.
Okay.
You ever been arrested?
No.
Okay. Have you ever heard of anything called obstruction of justice?
Yes, I have.
Where do you think you are right now?
In America.
More specifically, where do you think you are?
In a prison?
No, you're in an international federal inspection station.
Okay.
Do you think it's a good idea for you to come in here to raise your voice, to get irate, and then to turn around and threaten? And you did threaten, trust me. Everything that was said, we have on audio and video.
Okay.
To threaten a federal officer with physical violence?
No, I don't think it's a good idea.
Okay. And as soon as you pulled away from my officers when they went to grab your arm, okay, that's assault.
Okay.
Okay?
Uh-huh.
Do you understand what's going on here?
Yeah.
You really understand how much trouble you're in right now? You're going to jail. Is this worth it?
No.
A little bit late for apologies.
I'm sorry.
Your apologies were when you started to get irate with the officers out there.
Okay.
Do you think we're here just because we have nothing better to do?
No, I don't.
Why are we here?
To protect the United States.
We're here to protect the United States and Canada.
Yes.
Okay, you're coming in to shop in our...
I'm totally sorry about this.
And look what you did to your girlfriend.
Please,
your wife,
for my wife, please.
Okay, she's locked up too. Do you know why she's locked up? Because she grabbed another one of the officers out there.
I know.
When they were restraining you. So she's going to jail too.
Okay.
All right?
Oh, you think we just do this because we got nothing better to do? Yes, I do. Yep. Uh-huh. You know, wow. You know, there's so many things I could say get in trouble right now, but I tell you this. How can you justify thinking that a just God would protect the United States government based on what? You know, I mean, we need to get We need to get right with the Lord as individuals. God bless America. Why? We'll see you tomorrow.